Everything today is a reality show, or people want to put their lives and experiences on YouTube. You've got to hear what happened to a young Vanity Fair editor and how she got sucked in by a would-be Russian heiress. An unbelievably fascinating story. Come join us on Let Me Tell You, my Joan Hamburg's podcast, all part of the OG Podcast Network. Welcome to Let Me Tell You. It's our original podcast. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you can hear it on the OG Podcast Network. We have a really interesting podcast straight ahead. A woman who lived a totally fictitious life as an heiress, as an exotic creature, living huge, treating her friends, unbelievable trips. But how this woman, a real person, it's a real story, almost brought down a lot of others. This is straight ahead, and we were fascinated by it. So will you be too. Now, this time of year, the city is again booming. Theater is opening all around us. Restaurants are just finishing touches to open for the season. New ones coming in end of September, October. And there is so much to do. Right on Columbus Avenue and 77th Street, opposite the American Museum of Natural History, is, well, they call it a grand bazaar. It's a sort of a flea market. You can get everything from farm stuff. And there's also, right across the street, lots of little booths and things with people selling produce. But here, you can get anything you've ever thought about with 150-plus vendors. Lots of shopping. Now, you can buy fashion, so-called, vintage, collectibles, antiques, furniture. You can buy pickles or you can buy fried chicken. They have 30 food vendors there most of the time. Some come for special events, some come seasonally. So there's a lot. For example, just to show you, on Sunday, they're holding an NYC home decor and furniture bazaar, independent dealers. So it's fun to do. It doesn't cost you anything to go in there. A lot of them are pop-ups, and you're going to love it. And if this isn't to your liking, go eat oysters. The Mermaid Inn and Mermaid Oyster Bar, and this is, of course, we're coming into Oyster Week, they're serving from 5 to 7, really good deals. Happy hour, $1.25 for East Coast oysters and $6 beers, $8.50 wines, and $8.50 cocktails. You know, I was in a restaurant recently, and I ordered a drink, and I never drink the whole drink. It's like a waste. I wish I could order half order of a drink. Anyway, guess what? $15 for a vodka. Here, $8.50 for a cocktail. The Mermaid has three New York locations. They're in the East Village, they're in Greenwich, they're on Amsterdam Avenue, and they're opening in Chelsea on 23rd and 10th. So there is so much going on here. Just enjoy. And I'm telling you guys, we're going to give you a little look at all the previews, things that are worth doing, what restaurants are worth your making reservations at, all that kind of stuff. Theater tickets are so expensive, so you really want to be careful of what you buy. It's the same thing with eating out. I'm always shocked by when you go to a restaurant, the crowd is like 20s to 30s, spending $100, $150 a head for food. Really interesting. Could they all be Wall Street kids? Anyway, I'm so happy you're with us enjoying our podcast today. It's straight ahead, and I hope you listen all the time. I'm Joan Hamburg for Let Me Tell You. I'm going to introduce you to Rachel Deloach Williams, who came of age working in a dream job in the photo department at Vanity Fair and is now the author of her first book, My Friend Anna, The True Story of a Fake Heiress. You know, this story made headlines. It was written about everywhere. And it involved a young woman who came here to pursue her dream, got the dream job. Believe me, no one gets a job with Vanity Fair right out of college unless it's your uncle, aunt, father, cousin. And Rachel did it. And then one day, Rachel, at a bar or wherever everyone hangs out, was introduced to a very dynamic, charismatic young woman called Anna Delvey. It turns out, and I'm not giving away anything, that she was a con artist. And this photo editor, who everyone would say, how could she not know that, was scammed by this girl over $60,000. And even when she was scammed, it was hard for her to believe that her friend Anna could be a fake. So, you know, people, when they read this, Rachel, they say, how could this happen? You work for the most sophisticated magazine in the whole world. Pretty sophisticated. You hang out with all kinds of top media stars. And yet this 25-year-old girl woman just did it. Who could resist it? I could literally taste the espresso martinis and all the things she did, the free meals, the luxury, living in a hotel. You were hooked.
She was very good. She was very good at what she did. And I think, you know, the fact that she was able to fool banks and hedge funds, these places that have these background checks in place. Yeah, so the fact that she could fool them, I think it's less surprising she was able to fool people in a social setting, especially in New York, where you do meet people from such different backgrounds. And, you know, in my job, I meet people who are doing impressive things and working on projects all the time. So, yeah, I mean, she could have been what she said she was. It just turned out that she wasn't.
Right. And you didn't even think she was anything other than what she depicted. And, you know, it's interesting because here are you, very successful as a young woman, working with people who are successful. And yet, when this turned out to be fake, 25-year-old, really seemed to like you, not sexually, but as a girlfriend, you were flattered.
That's right.
And I understand that. People want to be in other people's light if it's really shining bright.
Definitely.
No matter who they are.
That's true. And I think at that point in time when Anna came into my life as a close friend, which was February 2017, all of my friends were getting married, having babies, had left Manhattan where I still lived. And here was this young, ambitious, smart girl who checked into a hotel near my apartment, invited me over every day, texting me. And I liked her. I liked spending time with her. So
who
it
wouldn't?
Just seemed so easy. It was a very easy friendship. And I really did enjoy her company. And I loved hearing about her project and her ambitions. And I liked her.
Right. And this girl invited you to share her exclusive celebrity trainer, free meals at the hottest new French restaurant in New York where you couldn't get a reservation.
That's true. Yes.
For a month. And there you were eating there almost every single night, doing everything.
It's funny. In hindsight, that period of time was about 2 months. And I think there
is this. It seemed forever.
It did seem to drag out for a long time when I was living through it. But I think there's a misconception, or in hindsight, maybe just because of certain things in the media where they think Anna was at all the best parties and knew all the best people. But in reality, when I was friends with her, I thought I was her only friend. She spent all of her time in her hotel, which did have that exclusive French restaurant that I loved eating in. But it was mostly just her and me hanging out in the hotel quite a lot.
Talking. And she had what you were told. She was starting a foundation and she wanted to do a documentary on it. And then, I mean, see, in New York, everything is possible. So if this had happened in Iowa or Oklahoma, you might have questioned it. But in the middle of New York City, where everyone has a story.
It's true. I there were times I questioned whether or not she'd pull it off, but I never questioned that she was trying to do it and that she had the money and that she was, you know, making a valiant effort at putting together this art foundation.
Right.
Why not?
And you describe, here you are, young in New York, not from here, and you've got your dream job, but you're working really hard, and this seductive person is giving you a life that you didn't have time or money for, because who does? You know, once you're paying rent, you said you were having trouble with your boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. So easy to fall into the lap of such luxury. Her parents, she told you, were enormously wealthy. She was an heiress to this. And then one day she says, let's go to Marrakesh.
Yes. Since she wasn't a U.S. citizen, she needed to leave the country to reset her visa. She suggests we take this trip somewhere warm. She wants to make a documentary. She's going to invite a videographer. I was along for the ride, and it was a generous offer, and I happened to be traveling in that spring anyway, so the timing worked out perfectly. It just, all the stars seemed to align until the trip took a turn.
Right. And you would think, who could go to that kind of place? You know, thousands of dollars
right.
a day. But, and then she invited one of your pals,
yes.
the videographer, who just happened to meet her by chance through you one night, and she invited him.
Yeah, that unfolded in a way I wasn't comfortable with. But I couldn't put my finger on what bothered me, because she had invited herself to a dinner where I was going to catch up with this friend. Invited herself to the dinner, sat down, and at the table, without talking to me,
she sort of seduced
him. Invites him. He accepts without asking me, because why should he ask me?
That's right. Who's going to invite you to Marrakesh?
Right. So I just was happy to have him along.
So she told you it would cost you nothing. She would pay for the ticket, the trip, every single thing, and you thought, I'm the luckiest woman in New York City.
I thought she was a very generous friend. Yeah,
she
made it seem so easy, and I think she really enjoyed playing this character she was playing and being able to be the person to say, everybody come, it's my treat, and I'm going to do this, and won't
right.
you come with me?
Right. Let me buy you these shoes. Let me buy you this bag.
Well, she didn't actually do that, but she did for other people. She was very convincing.
Well, because she came through.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, well, I'm going to let you tell the rest of the story, because I was always curious how she got the ready cash to even hold off the wolves
sure.
at the door.
Yeah.
So you say you're going to Marrakesh and staying in a hotel that most of us, if we go to Marrakesh, dream of staying at.
Sure.
You go. Why not? Right?
Yes.
Friend, very rich, not going to hurt her. So you go on the plane, and that was a nightmare in itself.
It didn't unfold the way that I think.
Like, not a normal, here are your tickets,
not as planned.
Let's go.
No, and I think, oddly, my job as a photo producer, booking travel and dealing with logistics.
You were so organized.
But it also made me more vulnerable in some ways to her con, because I sort of defaulted into this position where I was the one fixing problems, because that's what I did, both as like an older sister, but also for my job. So the
right.
day that we're supposed to leave and the tickets aren't booked, you know, I could book tickets in my sleep, and I'm used to people with busy schedules. I understand why, okay, maybe she doesn't know what time she's getting out of meetings. I can think of all these reasons why that makes sense, whereas other people would have maybe looked at that and said, oh, red flag.
Something wrong, right.
Right. To me,
you know,
I was like,
it's not
okay.
like you're flying to Washington, D.C. or something.
True. Hindsight, right? But at the time, I was more focused on being able to be supportive in that position, so I'm sending her flights saying, how can I make this easy? Like, you know, how can I help you? And she's saying, I'm stuck in meetings. Can you just help me finish the booking? I say, okay, with what card? She sends me a credit card that, of course, doesn't go through.
Mm-hmm. And even Matt didn't send any red flag.
No, because the flights were around $4,000. And if it were, you know, I wouldn't have surprised me if I'd had to call my bank and said, oh, no, that's not fraud. I actually am booking 4 tickets mm-hmm. to Morocco. I understand why that might have set off some sort of a snag in a bank. But I say, Anna, the card's not going through. Can you let your bank know that this is an authorized charge? She says, yes, I'm going to call them. I'll call you right back. La Mamounia has pre-authorized the hotel where
we're
staying.
That's the fabulous hotel.
Yes, exactly. And then she said, oh, one of the things I think con artists do is they create a false sense of urgency, and it, when you act in a you know, in a situation that creates some stress, your thinking isn't always so rational. So she then said, "Oh, the flight person just called and said they're leaving in 10 minutes. Can you finish the booking?" And I think, "Okay,
I better do this."
Yes, I don't understand why someone's leaving in 10 minutes, but I don't even think about it. I just say, "Oh, okay, should I put it on my card and you can pay me back?" And she said, "Yeah, I'll wire you next week." And that's how it started.
So you paid for the tickets with your credit card.
Yes.
And then you get there, and the place is spectacular.
Yep. It exists. It's real. We're there. Everything seems fine at first.
And the first few days, it's paradise. And then
we leave the hotel for the first time, and we go into the marketplace, the Medina. And Anna,
famous.
Yes. Anna picks out $1,300 worth of dresses and jumpsuits at this store, goes to the cash register, tries to pay. And, of course, again, her credit card doesn't work. Mm. And at this point, I think, well, I ask her, did you tell your bank you're traveling? Because, you know, we're off the marketplace.
Which people you sometimes do, credit card
right.
bank.
I mean, when I tried to use my debit card, it didn't go through because I hadn't told my bank I was traveling there either. But so again, I rationalize this situation, and she says, "Well, since I already owe you money, can we just add it to what I owe you, and I'll include it with the wire?" So it's one thing and then another thing, and it just starts to add up in this way that in for a penny, in for a pound, until the hotel bill unfolded in a dramatic and different way.
And the hotel officers, officials, were like now starting to harass everyone, showing up in your room, demanding payment. But even then, you guys didn't believe it.
Sure. I thought that Anna had some impulse issues. I thought she had spending problems. I thought she'd already spent her allowance or something.
Right, and you didn't get why she didn't contact her parents if she was in trouble.
Exactly. I thought she was afraid of them. Maybe they'd cut her off, or maybe she'd done this before. I wasn't sure, but I could think of so many reasons why this might be happening.
Right.
But then,
a German era, she had told you.
Yes, yeah. And what she hadn't told me directly, she was very consistent in her storytelling. So what you didn't hear from her, you might hear from other people just through conversation, which is part of what made her so convincing.
So now you're getting a little nervous because the hotel is demanding payment. Mm-hmm. And the personal trainer who was invited, the videographer, your friend who was invited, didn't even know her. They weren't given their credit cards because they didn't have credit cards that could possibly deal with it.
I didn't know I did either. But the trainer was sick, and she was kind of out of commission.
Was she sick from eating food?
Something. I don't, she had some sort of a stomach virus.
Poor girl.
Yeah, she was
She
really,
missed the whole thing.
And that's part of actually what's the day that everything kind of came to a dramatic head in Morocco was my last full day in Marrakesh. I woke up to a text from the trainer saying she needed help booking a flight to get home. She needed to go. So I'm calling the concierge asking for an urgent car, which I think set off alarm bells because they think we're fleeing.
Right.
So I'm busy helping her to pack Anna's asleep. The videographer is off at the breakfast place outside of our
stuffing
villa.
Himself.
Yeah, right. Everything's just going sort of haywire. And then instead of the car for the trainer, these two managers appear in the villa and basically are like, "Where is Miss Delvey?" And I have to run and go wake up Anna. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get a car to come so the trainer can get to the airport. The trainer ends up getting to leave. I'm alone with Anna and these two men, and they're not leaving without a functioning credit card. And I'm told it's for a temporary hold. I'm told it's...
The hotel said to you that they would hold it.
Yes.
Against Anna's paying the bill.
If they'd worded it like that, I might have viewed it differently. They just said that the final bill will need to be settled upon checkout, and this is the card we're supposed to have before you check into a hotel, which made perfect sense to me at the time. Of course, I was leaving before Anna and thought she'd need to settle the bill after I was gone, but spoiler alert, she didn't.
She didn't.
No.
So in this book, My Friend Anna, by Rachel Deloche Williams, I'm going to not tell you everything because you've got to read her adventure. But $62,000 later, there you are, terrified, with no money, no credit. You didn't want to tell anyone. Did you guys not run a Google search or anything on her?
I think after this, I certainly did. But before things came out in the tabloids later on down the road, there wasn't anything about her that set off alarm bells. She had things about her foundation online. There was social media.
So
things.
There was enough where you enough. Believed it.
Definitely. I believed her for a painfully long time. Yeah.
So, and you had kept this to yourself until you reached a point when you were really terrified. No money.
Yeah.
And you knew in your heart she was a fraud, but how did this happen?
It took a long time for me to come to that conclusion because she didn't just disappear. She was in touch with me every day with different excuses, and I thought...
It was coming. Don't worry. Yes. She created a fictitious executive for her parents' company who was going to take care of you, sent you emails from this fake person.
It was torture. I mean, she should have just, like, if she just disappeared, I would have, at least I would have known there was an obvious problem and found solutions.
Right.
But the way that she dragged me along was, like, it was by far the hardest thing I've ever been through, trying to find, you know, something I could understand in her language. She kept delivering these excuses that your brain sort of just froze and was like, I know there's no logic in what you're telling me, but I don't know what else to do. It was very hard.
If this story goes on and on, and finally Rachel now told her parents and one of her executives at Vanity Fair, and she was really in trouble, went to the feds, went to the proper authority. Yeah. First, they dismissed you.
Yeah, I had a tough time figuring out where to go because I had gone to the lawyers and I got just this very patronizing, well, did you learn your lesson? You want to pay for my son's medical school?
Right, they made a joke out of it.
That was horrible. And then my last resort was to go to the police. So I did that, and this lieutenant heard an abbreviated or, you know, the elevator pitch version of my story. And he goes, oh, like, sweetie, there's nothing I can do because it happened in Morocco. But with your face, you could start a GoFundMe page to get your money back, which is... This was
just
my last
resort. Need, right?
Yeah.
No money. Afraid you can't pay your rent.
Oh.
The job pressure is enormous.
Terrible.
Graydon Carter leaves, who's the editor of Vanity Fair and the face of this magazine.
Yeah.
So your whole world is crashing. You know, everyone who read this and followed it, it attracted huge media attention because it was such an unbelievable story. I'm only going to give you a little hint of the end, but... You, through really traumatic times, ended up with your day in court.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a real spy story from Los Angeles to New York.
It did.
And it turns out that this German heiress was not German at all. She was Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got an unbelievable ending. Where is Anna now?
Anna is currently in a prison. She's in jail.
Are you in touch with her at all?
No, not at all.
And you ended up selling this story. People came to you for this story. So what's happening with it?
Well, I wrote the book, which I am very proud of and felt extremely healthy and cathartic, and I think is a big reason I'm able to talk to you today without bursting into tears. And then HBO has optioned the rights to make a film or TV adaptation from the story as well, which
I'm very
excited
about. So this is really
about.
Exciting. And you were not a writer. You were in the photography area.
It's true.
And you wrote this book. It's yours. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You went through a lot to get to this point.
Yes.
By the way, whatever happened to your boyfriend?
He's still one of my closest friends.
But he's a friend. He's not a boyfriend.
Yes, today he's a friend.
Well, he shared a lot of the adventures, too, in this. I mean, I don't know what part. It's a travelogue. It's a crime story. It's the story of a young woman who should not be gullible.
Yeah.
Because she's working for one of the top magazines in the country. But it could happen to anyone. You know, power is seductive.
Yeah, I think I also was really lucky. I had such wonderful relationships in my life prior to meeting Anna.
Who could keep you in the hole?
I had an idealized version, though, of what friendship should be. So I think I held on to that for a really long time, hoping to see the best in her, trying so hard and having to learn that, some people just don't have the capacity to connect with people in that way.
Right. Well, it's a fascinating read. Wait until you find out what the real story is with this girl. My friend Anna. The true story of a fake heiress and how many people were affected. Major hotels in New York, major banks, all out thousands, thousands, thousands of dollars. Read it. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.